This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Huey Lewis in the news.
I don't know what that sounds like. That's something like
going down Metcalf.
Straight from the 80s.
Got my people down on Shawnee Mission. We love it. KC, Westport, Power and Light. Love it, love it.
Huey Lewis. What a waste of talent. I'm sorry.
He came up with Home of the Chiefs.
He came up with How About Them Boys?
No.
Okay. But yeah, so thanks to our boss for that wonderful music there, and thanks to our producer and Mac Morey as well. Let's get into Start Bench Cut, brought to you by Jay Southlanto.
Here's Fesco, Dusty, and Mac with this week's edition of Start Bench Cut.
We'll continue to do it with the Royals pitching staff because they're all really good. Reagan's Lugo, Boobalicious.
Okay, I'm going to start Reagans, I'm going to bench Boobalicious, and I'm going to cut Lugo just because of age.
Cutting the vet.
Wow.
Cutting the middle guy.
I like the young talent, and I like controllable talent, and I like the ability to have, you know, the guys in the rotation for a long period of time. And so, you know, the younger guys are going to always be above the veterans.
But though you consider trading Boobalicious.
Oh, absolutely, I would consider trading Boobalicious, yeah.
He likes the young talent.
You can get a lot for Boobalicious. You're going to trade more and get more for a guy like Chris Bubich than you are for Lugo, I think, just because he's much younger and a much more controllable contract, obviously.
I'll switch Lugo and Boobalicious, but that is tough. So I'll start Reagans, bench Lugo.
I mean, there were decades we could do start, bench, cut with three Royals pitchers from that decade, and nobody wanted to start any of them. Mark Redman, Bruce Chen,
Gilmesh. And don't forget everybody's favorite, Runelvis Hernandez.
That's right.
He was supposed to be Pedro.
Was everybody in the early 2000s was supposed to be somebody.
I'm going in that order. Reagans, Lugo, Boobalicious. I want veteran leadership on this mound.
Yes.
And that's not a shot at Boobalicious. That is not Boobich's. That's not a shot. He's been great. Keep playing well so your trade value goes higher.
So you like that old experience.
Oh, yeah, especially in the playoffs. And I do tend to go for the older experience.
Big fan of the Cougars, yeah.
Yes, sir.
I know that I'm hard.
Every day. We go into the NBA.
So at your age, you're probably like 60-year-olds then? Is that considered like what's the age of the Cougars now? Yeah. I'm 48, so a Cougar's in their 70s for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mac is 30.
Salma Hayek is 60. Look it up.
Oh, my God.
Jane Seymour is almost 70. Still would.
Christy Brinkley is the one who's looking really good lately.
She's 60.
Jennifer Aniston.
I mean, I'm sure that young cat that's, what was her, Heidi Klum? I'd like to know how old she is these days.
60.
Men's wieners. Nope. 60 is the new 40.
Mm-hmm.
Brunson, Jaylen Brown,
Jimmy Butler.
I'll start Brunson and cut the other two.
What?
I will start the finals MVP, Jalen Brown.
You're talking about past history here?
Mr. 111.
I remember Joe Burrow beat Mahomes.
I will.
Now he talks like Rob.
Yeah, what?
I'm Rob. Brunson, I'll cut Jimmy.
Cutting Jim? I think I'm going to start Jimmy Butler.
Because
he's a dog in the playoffs.
Fair.
I'm going to bench Jalen Brown.
Wow.
And I'm going to cut your 0-for-4 in overtime, Jalen Brunson.
Missed five straight shots, missed Surprise. That teardrop at the end, and has missed four straight. I am quietly interested to see what's going to happen on Wednesday night with him.
I would also like to see Brunson bring back that Villanova cut. He just looks better.
He does.
When they show that commercial of him and Divinchenko or whatever.
That's a great commercial, by the way. Isn't that
and
fun?
And then they show him running down the court in their Nova, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Brunson.
That's how you still,
yeah, okay. Now he looks like Kyler Murray. We go on to the football world because these are the top three quarterbacks in the NFL, according to ML Football. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson.
Start Lamar, bench Allen, cut Burrow.
Knew it. This guy.
Well, I mean, Burrow's a product of his environment. Drew Nix will tell you that.
Drew Nix.
I'll go in this exact order. I know I said I switch up on Burrow and Lamar. I'm switching up again. I'll start Allen, bench Burrow, cut Lamar.
God, Lamar is so fickle for you.
I don't know where to go. Yeah, it's tough.
I think I'm going to start Allen. Yeah, I'm going to go in that order. I'm going to start Allen, bench Burrow, cut Lamar.
Did you start Allen?
No. He started Lamar.
Lamar
benched Allen Lamar. And cut that product of a system.
He's a system quarterback.
He's Andy Dalton, right?
Joe Burrow's nothing more than a system quarterback.
Better or worse than Andy Dalton?
About the same.
About the same.
He's ready, Jen.
What the hell was that?
He's ornery.
Go win without two star wide receivers, man. Joe Burrow is nothing, a product of the people around him. He's a win with quarterback and not win because of quarterback. Jake Browning will tell you that.
Ed, you're the Chiefs brought back Bailey Zappe.
He's coming up soon, man. He's raring to go out there.
Oh, Binkley's. You talk about sports horny. Binkley's champing at the bit over there.
Champing at the bit. What is Binkley excited about today? Oh, there was that rookie mini camp over the weekend.
Well, he did tell me. I went out there to try to sell him. I asked him, I said, are the Celtics and Knicks game going to lead your show? He goes, yeah, well, you ain't missed 63s that game, Dutch, man. Product of bad stuff, man. And the Blues choked.
Who had it worse? Bigger choke job, Blues or Celtics?
Well, the Celtics are still going. The Blues are not.
I know, they are. That's the thing. Like, there were many texts that I wanted to send last night to you to talk smack, but I'm like, I'm not saying a word until this thing is over. You got to
wait.
You got to wait.
Jack smack. We try to bring this show full circle during this segment, so I go to what we said I was going to have for dinner tonight, which I think Bob's going to maybe do the same. Doing chicken euros, grilled chicken euros on the grill. He's going to do the stone. I think I'm going to do it on the grill now. Pita bread, sourdough bread, ciabatta bread. Not for the euro, but just bread in general.
I think in that order.
Yeah, God, that's a tough order.
That's really hard.
Because I really love ciabatta.
I know, me too.
I'm not a huge ciabatta guy. I mean, like...
You don't bada bing?
If they told me I'd never have ciabatta bread again in my life, I'd survive.
But sourdough's a...
Sourdough is really good.
It's underrated.
With butter on it.
I think I gotta start sourdough, honestly.
Sourdough that you get the little oil and the seasonings and then rub it in there and then get that soft butter and just get fat.
Yeah, it's versatile, too.
Sourdough is good.
I'll just start sourdough. I'll bench pita. I'll cut ciabatta.
Yeah, I don't like pita either. They get in the way of everything fun. Oh, you can't have a real live buffalo out of a...
Oh.
Pita's gonna get mad.
I thought he meant like pitas, like pita.
Oh, pita. Yeah. No, pita is a lot of ways to have fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go pita. I'm going to bench ciabatta. I'm going to cut sourdough.
All right.
As I say, I love sourdough. And honestly, the only time I've had it in the last 6 months was at Panera when I got the bread bowl. But I've had ciabatta recently. I've had pita, and I'll have pita again tonight. That's weird. So the way you prep your food, charcoal grill, Blackstone, or a propane grill?
Now it's the Blackstone.
Just nonstop.
Yeah, it really is. I just really like it. It's fun, you know? You can experiment more.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start the Blackstone, bench the charcoal, and I pretty much have cut the propane grill. I still have it. It's like a graveyard of grills in my yard, but...
Do you need it?
The propane grill? No, do you want it? You come over and get it. It's yours.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
All right.
The only thing is...
He'll be there today.
The only problem is, like, the starter's busted, so you got to light it with a lighter and burn your eyebrows off.
Okay.
You don't actually have to do that. What you do is you take a paper towel, you roll it up really tight, you light it with a lighter, and you stick it in.
Oh, and just kind of stick...
Yep. Yeah. Or you get one of those long stick lighters.
Yeah, the little bics.
Oh, okay, yeah, I can work around that.
Yeah, you just flick your bic, dude.
Yeah. Absolutely. You come over and get the propane grill, I'll give it to you.
You load it, you take it. Yep. You just sit there the whole time.
Hey, Jen, got rid of that grill that doesn't work.
Aren't you proud of me?
What?
Second-year receivers / tight end, ooh. Ladd McConkey, Brock Bowers, Malik Nabers.
That's a good one, Dusty.
That's a hard one.
Same. Peta.
I'll cut Bowers because he sucks. I'll cut McConkey because he sucks. Give me Malik Nabers.
Lean into the New Yorkness.
Do it, man. Yeah.
No, I don't like the AFC West guys. Screw them.
Yeah, but you like Bowers. You can't look me dead in the eye. So you can't look me dead in the eye and say you don't like Brock Bowers.
It's hard not to.
It's a guilty pleasure. Silver and black.
Like Tim Brown all over again. It's okay to appreciate great athletes on teams that are like your biggest rival.
Of course.
Like you appreciate OG Anunoby for last night, right?
I told my parents I wanted a Tim Brown jersey for Christmas, and my dad told me that Santa doesn't buy Raiders stuff.
Yeah, that's going a little bit too far. Awesome. That is, yeah.
That's awesome.
I love Tim Brown.
I give your
dad
a lot of credit raising you the right way. Yeah, you're not doing that.
Since Santa doesn't deliver Raiders stuff, it's a law.
I'll go the exact opposite order, I believe. I'll start Brock Bowers, bench Ladd, and cut Nabers.
Same. Final one here on Start Bench Cut, brought to you by Jay Southland Tow. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, MLB playoffs.
I'll still go MLB, NHL, NBA.
Yeah, reverse. Yep.
You're going NBA?
NHL.
You're cutting MLB playoffs? How much NHL players are you watching?
That's fair. Because of when it falls. Yeah. The NHL playoffs didn't fall when it does. You're right. I'd watch more of it, but you're right. I'll have to cut it.
You're going to petition the NHL to move their playoffs for your liking.
For my view.
Yeah, they should play the morning sesh and let NBA play the night sesh.
I would love that.
I'll start MLB. No, I will start it. I'll start NBA. I'll bench MLB and cut NHL because I don't watch NHL, or at least yet. I'll watch the Final Four of the NHL.
Yeah, I'll watch more later.
And hope that playoff Specs beard continues to grow because he looks awkward. Coming up next, we get back into why Bob was right and Mac was wrong. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's the truth.
I'm the NBA expert.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals Baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Tuesday, you guys are almost to freedom or to where you want to be. Max got a new grill.
Baseball with the Royals.
That's right. Max got a new grill. Bob's got the same girl.
He doesn't have the grill yet. Nixon 5.
Drew Nixon. No, if anybody missed it last night, you missed one hell of a game when it came to,
one stop gets you one big win. Back to that far sideline, Derek White. 3 seconds left. 108-105, Knicks lead in overtime. White has the ball, holds it high, throws it to Brown. Left wing, stripped by Bridges, hangs onto it, took it away, throws it down court, and the New York Knicks stun the Celtics. 108-105, the final. The Knicks save their biggest comeback of the season for the biggest win of the year.
No better time than now. And if you didn't know how you got there, it was all because of this.
And a fantastic defender in Holiday. Now the switch. Brunson at three. Kicks by three after trailing by 20.
And he can also draw a foul.
That's a three. Got another one. He is a machine.
Player over.
The spin off Holiday. Inside he goes. Outside in. And Obi three. Shot clock at six. Now over Robinson, three, no! Rebound right through his hands, picked up by McBride!
Little dribble handoff here.
Towns, Brunson up for the lead! No!
Oh, man!
It's off to Tatum. The defense was there. We have got overtime fend.
Oh, what a steal by Bridges!
In a congested corner, he somehow dug it out. Inside, and the cut, and the jam, and the foul. Tatum is there. In the corner, Bridges, three, bullseye. It's a 6-point New York lead in overtime.
And move.
On the fly, another miss. Whoa, and tipped in by Towns. Pulled down by Holiday. It's out to Brown. He's open from three. Got it.
Finally.
One.
It's off to Brown. Bridges there. They hold it. They dribble. It's over. The Knicks have won.
Nobody else as excited as Kevin Harlan at the end there, and that whole crowd. Very biased crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very biased crowd. Couple of things from that. Number one, again, this is not about the NBA. This is a great sports moment. That was a hell of a game last night. Like, because I can hear the people rolling. I'm not an NBA. If you're a sports fan and you weren't captivated by that game, there's nothing I can say for you last night. That was a captivating game last night, and so was the one that came on after it. Right,
it was the best night of the NBA all year.
It was an unbelievable night. Right, it was so much fun. That's what sports is about. It doesn't have to be about the NBA, the NHL, baseball, or football. If you're just a sports fan, that was a great sports moment last night. So let's get that out of the way for 100%. All the NBA haters out there, because I'm not an NBA fan, but I love great sports moments. And last night, I'm getting the goosebumps again talking about it, because my emotions were, I haven't been that like emotional since the Super Bowl, really. And that dissipated fast with the way the game went, right?
Very fast.
Like the butterflies last night, the sitting on the edge of your seat, the pacing, the, you know, walking around, all that kind of stuff. Just the emotion was there for me last night.
You felt were like pacing.
Yeah, I was walking around a lot. Yeah.
I was standing.
I know you were.
Yeah.
You were pulling your hair out.
I wouldn't say pacing, but I would get up and, you know, like when they were down 20, I got up and heated up dinner or, you know, like that type of stuff, and kind of moved around a little bit outside and cleaned the Zins that Ralph left over there up and, you know, whatnot.
Just spitting Zins on your patio?
Oh, he was a thing, you know. Oh. Like, I mean,
they're just throwing the like pouches.
Oh, no, he left this tin of Zin, is what I'm saying. You know, just cleaning up and doing. Are we allowed to say that on the air? Is that some like roll? But anyway, it was a perfect sports last night. It was a perfect sports moment last night. It was great theater, great drama, great comeback, great performances. Kevin Harlan's a reason to watch these games. You had Ian Eagle and Kevin Harlan back-to-back games.
It sucks when the other team's making shots and Harlan's calling it.
He's just phenomenal. And then I don't know if you guys felt the same way that I did about Reggie Miller last night when Jalen Brunson missed that shot that would have ended the game in regulation. I can't remember a national analyst being as hard on a player as Reggie Miller was on Jalen Brunson last night. I thought that was a little bit like, wow. Like,
is that Pacers bias coming out?
That's a great point. I didn't even think about that.
Not like he likes Boston too much either.
But he hates
New York.
Yeah. Boy, he had acted like Jalen Brunson just missed the easiest shot. Now you go back and look at it. Whoever was in front of him was like 18 feet in the air. Jalen Brunson had to go like over the Empire State Building to get that ball to fall. That wasn't as easy a shot as Reggie wanted it to seem at that point in time. And then, you know, the Knicks going out there and winning. What I was told, Dusty, and I don't know if you'd heard this as well, this was going to be like the most boring, non-interesting series, wasn't it?
From a historical perspective, from a meaningful standpoint, from a branding standpoint for the NBA, like this is a great series for the NBA. It should do some really good ratings. I mean, I think this will be the least entertaining basketball series of the four. It's not arrogance. I haven't even said anything.
I think this is going to be the worst series of
the least entertaining
all.
Basketball series of the four. But I think there's reasons for it. I don't think that's arrogance. I don't think that's nothing.
So explain why.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you could ask why. I think the Celtics are the second best team in the NBA, if not the first. So right there. I think it'd be Thunder, Celtics, and then like Cavs. And then like Nuggets-ish. I just think the basketball will be better. The games will be closer. It'll go 7 games. I get you, though. From a marketing standpoint, no question.
All of the pressure is on Boston.
100%.
And sometimes I like going into these series as underdogs. You've got an opportunity for a team that are the Knicks to play free and clear. There's zero pressure on them at all. Nobody thinks they're going to win. Go out there and have some fun playing basketball. And sometimes not having that pressure on you makes you play better. Boston's playing with a really, really tight sphincter in this one because they're supposed to win. They're supposed to crush the Knicks.
Yes.
Everybody thinks they're one of the best teams. Like, everybody's already penciled them in to the NBA Finals, right?
I've been pounded this week.
Jaylen Brown got pounded this week.
Great game by the Knicks. And I was wrong. It was very entertaining. Still think the Celtics are much better. No.
Okay.
About it losing the series? No, not yet.
Oh, okay. You should be less nervous than I am. I know Knicks are up 1-0, but I'm waiting for doomsday.
Yeah, and that's classic, like a Knicks mentality.
It's usually the Boston mentality.
But my antennas are up. Like the Celtics have the ability to choke. They could do that again. The Knicks are good. They are talented. But that's not why they're good. They don't win because they have a lot of talent. I think they have a talent deficit, actually, for a lot of the teams they're facing. They've got Moxie. They've got Hart. And Josh Hart, but they also have H-E-A-R-T Hart. And they've got confidence. They never think they're out of that game. And I don't know if that's a Tom Thibodeau thing. I don't know if that's a Jalen Brunson thing, a culture thing, whatever it is. They're down 20 in the Garden. A lot of teams give up. A lot of teams are tired. That team was tired. They just had a hard physical six-game series.
Both teams looked exhausted at the end, though.
Exhausted. Yeah. We didn't have an excuse to look exhausted.
No.
The Knicks do. The Knicks run six guys. They all play 40 minutes. Mikal Bridges stole the ball from
Go look at the box score for both teams real quick, and I'll let you get back into that.
Yep.
But how many DNPs, coaches' decisions? You have shortened the benches big time in the playoffs.
Yes, you've truncated your rosters completely. The Celtics lost a couple of guys that forced them to play more in the fourth quarter. Thank you. And I kind of lost where I was going there. But either way, I think there are two ways to look at this game if you're a Celtics fan. One is you shot 15 for 60 from three, 25%. You set a record for most missed threes. Jaylen Brown wasn't good. You know, you lost some guys to injury that are going to come back in game two, all those things. But the other side that I'm kind of looking at it is the bad way of like, dude, the Knicks came back without Jalen Brunson on the court. They found offense where it's been a desolate wasteland for them. They've not been able to score the basketball without feeding Brunson. If they now can get 10, 15 minutes of rest without Brunson and actually look viable on offense, that scares me a little bit.
Yeah, as it should. And, you know, look, obviously the Knicks have a little bit of momentum now. I'm not going to say they have all the momentum in the world or anything like that.
Huge.
They got game one. You know, you're on the road to start these series, whether it's baseball, whether it's basketball, whether it's hockey. You go on the road to start. If you can split, you've got the advantage. The Knicks now have the home court advantage, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So the Knicks now have the home court advantage. But for me, you mentioned all of that, and I simplify things. I think that Bobby Mitola, whoever that coach is for Boston,
damn it,
that guy sucked last night. Like
that night last night.
And
but
you know,
that job's irrelevant.
It is. But when you need it to be relevant, you've got to be on top of it. And it's an irrelevant job because these guys are generally just babysitters. But in a game like that last night, you got to stop being the babysitter and be the parent, basically. You got to call timeouts and you got to tell your guys, we're not shooting the threes anymore. But when you allow the analytics to get in the way, and this is the way you play, and you don't have a plan B, you fail. And there's a lot of people in sports that are arrogant, right? A lot of people in business that are arrogant. A lot of successful people are very arrogant. And they always feel that, like, no matter what we do, it's going to work. But they never have that no man that stands there and says, what if this fails? What's our backup plan? What if this isn't working? The Boston Celtics last night were the worst shooting team in the history of basketball from three-point land. And they continue to shoot it and continue to shoot it and continue to shoot it. That's why I say coaches are useless. Because other than like a Popovich or a Spoelstra, somebody's got to get in there and say, guys, we're done with this. I don't care what Nerdy McNerderson is telling you in the analytics department. We're out on this. It ain't working tonight. And that's why I don't like the analytics, because you don't have a feel for the people side of things.
Yeah.
And if somebody goes cold, or if somebody's wife was cheating on them, or they got into a fight with their mom, you just don't know the human side of things and how that factors in. And when you're so by the book, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to shoot the three-point shot till we die, well, you saw what happens. And it's only one game for Boston, but that could come back and hurt them. That could come back and harm them, because as a coach, you got to be able to adjust, and there was no movement made at all by Boston last night.
I think when I watched this game, it makes me think of like the final table at the World Series of Poker. Like, you get eight spots at the final table, right? Let's say there's eight spots.
Okay.
The obvious chip leader is Boston, Cleveland, and Oklahoma City. Like, they had the high chip stack. And when you come into the final table at the low chip stack, like maybe Golden State is, and maybe the way the Knicks are, you've got to make a move quick to hang around and hope that other people get knocked off so you make it further and you can kind of hold your ground. You've got to make a stab at the pot to make some sort of splash. And last night, the Knicks went all in.
Mm-hmm.
They chased a couple of rivers and they hit them. And, you know, when your back's against the wall and you got to make a splash, you play, like Bob said, with not a lot of pressure. Like, look, I'm putting all my chips in. If I win, I win. If I don't, I wasn't supposed to be here anyway, or I'm not supposed to win this hand anyway.
they hit a couple of wild cards. They got it. OG showed up with with suited connectors all night and was hitting straights and was hitting flushes. You know, Jalen Brunson goes out there and gets a couple pocket pairs and hits those big shots. He can go into overtime and not have to worry about, because Knicks lose. Brunson's the cover of the New York Post.
Brunson's the story today.
Right?
Brunson is the story today.
Now they've won a huge couple of pots. Now they can kind of sit back. They don't have to win game two. They can go to their garden in game three and go up 2-1. And now they're playing with the chip stacks. Now they're playing with the high chip stack guys.
Yep.
And they can kind of dictate when they want to jump in and when they don't. Now they don't necessarily have to throw all their pocket or all their pot of money in. They can now play with a little bit and relax a little bit more, which could be scary, could be good. We'll find out. Game two is on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, game three in the Garden in New York.
What happens if the Knicks win game two?
Then Mac's not here on Thursday or Friday. Yeah. I mean, that's when you would. And again, I still believe this because I saw a buddy of mine told me about this on, I think it was, pardon my take. They've got Hank, who's a big Boston guy.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't care if the Celtics are down 3-0, they can still win the series.
I don't disagree with that.
So, I mean, like...
I don't either.
I've seen New York teams up 3-0 in best of fours or best of sevens.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't work. Yeah,
the Celtics were down 3-0 2 years ago, and they came back to game seven. If it weren't for a sprained ankle, they could have won.
So, I think we're destined for seven games. I think we're destined for a lot of entertainment. And for my sake of this show with you two guys, I hope we go back and forth like a ping pong battle all day with this series. And yet, there's still dynamite series around. Like you said... Not a lot of Clippers talk with Gru talking to his minions as the coach last night on the bench and the Nuggets winning and upsetting. That's what it looked like. And they upset the Thunder.
He's talking about Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, right. But he was the coach last night, right?
Your minions, you're supposed to be here. I have trained you well.
Ben Maller said the coach of the Denver Nuggets looks like a guy from Impractical Jokers. And he sent the
Adelman,
picture.
He does. Yes, he does. Oh, my God. Wow, I love that. That's a great take from Maller. Gosh, I'd never thought about that. Wow.
And so we get that last night, and you get to parlay that with, you know, the local aspect.
Here's the pitch. Slider hit on the ground, through the left side, and into left field, a base hit. Winston to score from third. Salvi goes to second, and Mikel Garcia's got another hit in the month of May. An RBI single through the drawn-in infield, and the Royals have a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the fourth.
So then again, Mikel Garcia just continuing to do it, man. They bring the infield in, slap it through the hole and shortstop, knocks in Bobby Witt Jr., who stole second, then scores. Then Drew Waters later on in the night would do it as well for the Kansas City Royals.
Lined up the left field line. That's going to get the run home. And Waters will have extra bases as he speeds to second base with an RBI double.
And unfortunately, cut that audio off because then he goes, and then Knicks hit seven. I kid. But no, I think that's something that's awesome, right? We got tons of entertainment last night from all over the sports world. You watch that game of Knicks and Celtics, and then you kind of, you know, wherever your attention is, maybe you're a two TV guy, maybe you're like me, where Royals and then flip over, and then, okay, it's third quarter, they're up 20. Can they cut it down to 10 before the fourth quarter starts? Oh my God, this game is tied. Royals, you're on my phone. You're up 3-0 against the White Sox. Talk about taking care of business. You talk about, you know, zero pressure. I don't think there's a lot of pressure on the Royals to win this series. I think there's pressure on them to sweep the series.
Sweep the series, yes.
But you win tonight with Lugo on the mound, you've won the series. Then you go out there and you throw a walk on the mound.
No, it's a four-gamer, isn't it?
Yeah, so it would be Waka then Bubic, right? Or does Bubic get above Waka? Because normally the rotation was Reagans, Lugo, Waka, Bubic, Lorenzen.
Yeah.
So
who cares? They're going to win.
Yeah.
They got a historical rotation go out there. Let's go.
And I think that's what's great is that we talk about, you know, how good this pitching staff has been all season. But there's a reason why you always talk about this pitching staff, because this pitching staff this season is doing something that every MLB team literally seeks and admires. Like the Royals had that historic bullpen. It was great. Now they've kind of flipped the script and they have an historic starting five, or on pace to be that starting five. Reagans misses a game. A guy from the, you know, minor league system comes up and has an absolute gym quality start. Reagans comes back after missing, you know, some time, 11 strikeouts in five innings, looks electric.
They're on pace to be the best pitching staff in Royals team history. And you look at ERA at 3.07 or whatever it is, or 3.16, depending on what stats you're looking at, you know, for this team and for where they are as a pitching staff. It is the best ERA in franchise history, coming in above the 1976 team. And people will say that 76, 77, 78 era of Royals baseball, those were your three best teams of all time in Royals history. And this rotation has an opportunity, and this pitching staff, I should say, has an opportunity to be better than that pitching staff in 1976. If this trend continues, they will be the greatest pitching staff in Royals team history. And that's why when you look at what's going on right now with that need for that extra bat, you really need to go all in and get that extra bat, because you don't want to waste this pitching performance. Right now, the pitching is keeping you in this thing. Eventually, you're going to need to score some runs, and you get that extra bat here in the next month or so, you'll be golden, man. That's all it's going to take now, is one big move by this Royals organization to strengthen that missing piece in the outfield. And this team, you don't ever say term unbeatable in baseball, because there's 162 of them, but it beats you as close to unbeatable as you possibly can be for the Royals in, I don't know, a decade, you know?
And for those people that think that big move will be Jack Caglione, J.J. Piccolo, who was on the show with Cody and Gold yesterday, had this to say about what they see in him and when they think that he might be able to move up.
Well, it's certainly, we don't have a set date on it. You know, it's just one of those things that when our evaluators are down there, and we had a bunch in Springfield this week, you know, make the recommendation to our player development staff that it's time to move Jack to AAA, that's when we'll move him. But you know, those things are so hard to just say it's going to be by this date or by that date. What we want is between now and the time Jack hits the major leagues, he's as complete of a hitter as he can possibly be. We know how hard it is in the major leagues, watching some of the young guys that are in the major leagues right now really struggling, and that's not the way we want to break Jack into the big leagues. It doesn't mean he won't struggle. But we want him to be as prepared as he possibly can. And a lot of that comes down to swing decisions, you know, understanding what the situations are, really no different than any other hitter. You know, Jack's just clearly very talented and is on a faster track than most guys would be.
So I want to ask you this. Do you think what's happened to MJ Melendez has given them a little bit of fear of Jack Caglione getting called up anytime soon at any level, AAA, Major League,
I think
whatever?
I think if you're a talent evaluator in baseball, you're always fearful of, oh God, what if this guy fails? Like, because how many guys fail? Almost all of them, you know, almost all sure. of them fail. I think, God, what was I watching last night baseball wise? Oh, it was, I flipped over to the White Sox broadcast late in the game. I think it was the eighth or ninth inning.
That almost might be worth a price of admission.
Steve Stone's really good.
No, he is, but to hear him be honest.
Yeah, but he's really good. Their play-by-play guy gets into fights with people in the media in Chicago is really bizarre. But they had like the stat, like 10% of professional baseball players become major league baseball players. And like the guy who was pitching in the eighth inning, I think was making his debut. I'm sure basically every White Sox is making their debut at one point or the other during this season. But I think they were talking about the guy on the mound. I think it was 10% of every professional baseball player becomes a major league baseball player. What percentage of that 10% become good major league baseball players? Mm-hmm. It's not that big. And so the numbers are small. So yeah, I do feel like that does factor. And they always say in baseball, you have to know when it is the right time to put somebody up there. You don't want to put somebody up there who's not quite ready. You don't want to put somebody up at the big league level who's not quite ready mentally and doesn't understand what failure is about because they've never failed before. Like, a lot goes into it from a baseball perspective. It's just, it's such a tough, tough, tough one to gauge. And I think all talent evaluators at the end of the day are very cautious, because if you start bringing up some of these minor league players and they don't win, how do you justify to your boss, oh, we got guys in the minor leagues, you know? So I think a lot of guys hold some of these prospects back a little bit longer than they probably should, but you also want to be careful that they don't come up and fail, and you don't want to have to send them back down. You want to make sure when you call them up, they are called up for good.
I just, meeting that kid, man, he doesn't seem like he has that sort of
mental. No, I don't think that he does, but.
And I understand. You know. And I know that he'll be in Omaha before we know it, and then we'll get to July, and all of a sudden, if he's doing what he's doing in Double A in Omaha, because he's played 27 games, he's got a .314 average, slash line .395, .543, .938. He does have the over threshold of 100 at bats. 6 home runs, 27 RBI, and 29 strikeouts. 2 of those home runs came on this weekend.
I mean, there's a lot of buzz. I mean, MLB.com yep. is using the Naturals as their free MLB minor league game of the day again.
Yeah, I mean,
It's not just us. It's become a kind of a national phenomenon with Jack Caglione named the two teams of the week by Baseball America and MLB's Pipeline. So like the buzz is there right now. And so we'll see. You know, sometimes it's a little bit, you don't want to open your Christmas gifts on Christmas Eve too, you know?
That's right. Sex sells. And it is a Tuesday. We wrap up this show here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Jason Pierre-Paul wants the NFL teams to know that he's available and in shape.
When was the last time he played?
4th of July.
Okay. Yeah, JPP. Yeah, you know me. I'm down with JPP.
We also got a tweet from Sean Berkey on Twitter. This show reminds me of Dennis the Menace. Mac as Dennis, Dusty as Joey, Bob as Mr. Wilson. I didn't know who Joey was because I've only seen the Dennis the Menace movie that came out in the 90s with Christopher Lloyd.
I mean, I watched Dennis the Menace in black and white growing up.
Joey McDonald is one of Dennis's best friends. He isn't as bright as Dennis, though, as was proven in some comic strips and cartoon episodes. In one Sunday comic strip, it was revealed that Joey is 6 years old and speaks in a nasal American with nasal American accent.
Hey guys.
Yeah, Dennis, Joey, and Wilson.
Love it.
Hey, Mr. Wilson. How'd that American Pie movie go over the weekend for Max Movies of the Month?
I'll get it done this week, before the end of the week.
It'll take you 2 hours and you'll love it. Bleak 182.
I don't even know if it's 2 hours, is it? Like that's like a 90-minute deal.
Yeah, maybe. Bleak 182 is in American Pie.
Great soundtrack.
Really? Okay. Like their music. Okay.
No. They are.
Wow.
In it. Yeah, they are in it.
Okay. Damn. That's more motivation.
And the scene that they are in is insane. It's awesome.
I'm stoked.
But yeah. So need to get you to watch American Pie so we can get your full perspective on it. We'll do that on Friday.
Love it. Have you seen Boys in the Hood? That may have to be on the list, too.
I told him you should
watch. No, I'm not going to ever say you haven't seen that because I have not seen. I don't watch movies.
Yeah.
So I'm never going to be that guy. You've never seen that? No, because I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I want to watch more. I want to learn. I want to gain some perspective. So, yeah, we'll add it to the list.
Somebody says, Matt, make sure you eat apple pie while you're watching American Pie. Go get one of those McDonald's apple pies.
Yeah, see
how
they are.
Try to make the show full circle.
There we go. You know?
See if they're still as good as they were in the 80s.
And then we'll just tell your mom we ate it all. It's a fun movie. But
it's such a great movie. It really is. Like, it's everything you want in that type of movie.
It'll take you back to, like, your senior year, like, graduating and everything that comes with it. But, yeah, I'm excited to see what your reaction is to American Pie. Really, I am, because I...
90 minutes.
Yeah.
Told you, it's not that long.
Yeah, it's great.
You can't make it through American Pie, you got issues.
Yeah, well, you won't make it through the song, but you'll make it through the movie. But Tara Reid, fantastic. Nadia, the foreign exchange student. Yeah. What was her name in real life? Shannon Elizabeth.
Shannon Elizabeth, yeah.
Jason Biggs is funny. Finch is hilarious.
Atticus Finch?
Nope, Paul Finch, a.k.a. Blank Break.
Is that what someone said that I am or something?
I was joking.
Oh, that was you. Okay.
Finch is more so gold.
Okay.
Gold. I think gold would get Stifler's mom.
Oh, from that standpoint.
And would probably definitely leave school to go take a dump.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're filling it. Yeah. But yeah. Tonight, a little bit less of an adventurous night for us, right? We get the Royals still rolling along, trying to take 13 out of 15. Which would be impressive. Just keep beating the bad teams. And then also, there is continued NBA playoffs tonight. Now, it's not last night, but I'm not going to give up on tonight. Now, I think the Pacers-Cavs series is boring. To me, it reminds me of Big Ten football, Big Ten basketball. But then you get the Golden State Warriors and the Minnesota Timberwolves as the premier game tonight. Draymond versus Gobert. Steph versus Ant. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler going to throw in his 2 cents somewhere in this game. I'm interested to see how Ant does in this game. Anthony Edwards is who we referenced for those of you that don't follow the NBA until now. But I think that series is going to have some fireworks. Minnesota is a 6.5-point favorite. The Cavs, an 8.5-point favorite tonight after losing game one to the Halliburton-less dad in the crowd. So NBA Royals, 6:40, Vern's on deck show at 5:30. Still got some good sports tonight. It won't be last night. And some of us may need some rest because we were all up late last night with everything that was going on.
I will be cashing in early today. I promise you that.
This is where you lean on your teammates, though.
Yeah.
Let me know how that game was at 9:30.
And if the Knicks end up getting eliminated, you can let me know how the rest of the NBA playoffs are. But I think that's everybody at every sport. Once your team gets knocked out, you don't pay attention. You really don't. You know, like the baseball, football, a team gets knocked out early. You're done. You're checked out. It's fine. It's okay. You've been through a long season and it's over. And, you know, why do I care about watching some of these other losers that beat me, right? So I'm done. So I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, you got to pick and choose your spots, man. And, you know, last night was one of those spots. Tonight just doesn't happen to be one of those spots in the NBA for me. You know, so I would love it to be the Warriors and Knicks in the NBA Finals. I think America needs that.
Do you think it's bigger? I saw this from Stephen A.
Because the Lakers are done, right? They're not going to be grandfathered in.
I think I know the answer to this because I think Stephen A. asked this. Like, what's bigger, Steph to win 5 or Anthony Edwards to win 1?
Steph to win 5.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Without hesitation. So. Yeah. Without hesitation. Puts him in a different category.
Really does.
He
changes a lot.
Yeah, yeah. He all of a sudden, people recognize who he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, we always talk about LeBron and Jordan with the championships and whatnot. Steph Curry quietly has dominated the NBA for the better part of 2 decades, and it's always LeBron and Jordan that people talk about. Now Anthony Edwards or Jalen Brunson or whatever. I feel like, anyway, that Steph is always short-sighted, but yet every kid has his jersey.
Yeah, I mean, if he wins another, that'll be 3 that he's won without Kevin Durant and only 2 with. So you can't go, the super team. No, he won actually more without him and 2 after he'd left, one of which, if he wins this year, will be 35.
I saw yesterday on ESPN Kendrick Perkins saying that, I forget what team it was, needs to go all in next year and get Kevin Durant. I'm like, what year is this?
Was that the Rockets? Did he say
it? Been the Rockets. Yeah. I think I don't like that.
Yeah.
Somebody brings up Dusty. Jimmy going back to Minnesota is going to get booed hard. Going to be a great atmosphere in the Target Center.
Great storyline. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Minnesotans are too nice, though. They're like,
not
boo
to Jimmy.
They'll be like, boo. But we.
Jimmy was mean to Cat.
Yeah,
he was mean to Cat.
Mean to Wiggins, too.
I need to see what Henry Lake thinks about this game tonight. He'll be like, oh, man, they're going to get cooked. That's what he'll say.
If Cat was still on the Timberwolves, there'd be a lot of animosity.
Knicks wouldn't be where they are if Cat was still on the Timberwolves.
And then you got 2 game ones in the NHL as well.
And somebody said, everybody forgets about Kobe and his championship. Nobody forgot about Kobe. We were talking about Steph Curry and Anthony Edwards. Nobody forgets about Kobe. Kobe is 5.
He's literally one of the most talked about players.
Yes. If Steph does win a 5th, he's in that conversation with Kobe.
Yep.
He's in a weird conversation with him and LeBron.
What about Shaq?
I just have a hard time comparing centers to, like, everybody else. Like, I don't know. Like, I think, obviously, like, Kareem's great. Shaq's great. Russell, all those guys. Robinson, Duncan. But, like, I feel like you can put all, there's so many of them that you can put them all in their own category. Like, you can put Russell, Shaq, Olajuwon, Chamberlain, you know, all those guys in one category, and then you can have an entire separate conversation of like shooters and role, like those type of.
The shooters, like let's say the Steph Curry, that's the quarterback basically of the NBA. You're judged by your champions because everybody we named is not a big. You know, like we don't say, well, Shaq needs one more championship. Kobe. You know, like, you know, whoever is the big man for the Warriors doesn't need a championship. It's all about Steph. Like, I feel like we view the point guards, the shooting guards the same way we do quarterbacks. And the big men are like the offensive linemen. They're just there for the party.
I think it's definitely the way it is now. I don't know. You could tell me I'm wrong, but I think back in the 80s and 90s, it was more centered around if you need that 7-footer.
You needed a big man back in the day. And the NBA got faster and more athletic, and then you eliminated the big man, and now people say, well, there's not enough big men in the game. You eliminated that position. And one more thing about last night, too, which has to infuriate you as a coach with this Bobby Mitola guy standing over there on the sidelines. Like, Jalen Brunson was in foul trouble. Why wouldn't you drive at that guy all day?
Oh, I was screaming, man. Take it to the rack, dude.
Is your fiance able to watch Celtics game with you?
She just sits on her phone.
And just rolls her eyes.
Yeah, rolls her eyes. I'd be like, this is a good part if you want to. She's like, no, you're too intense.
I'll just watch the PGA Tour.
Yeah, she likes that vibe.
You know how Binkley killed a meeting? Mm-hmm. Let me kill a show.
All right.
There's a breakout season ahead for tight end Kyle Pitts in Atlanta. Yeah, that's your Bailey's happy. Hey, by the way, don't forget Binkley and Logan coming up the rest of the week from 10 to 2 as those other guys. They're in California for a wedding, so make sure you give Logan and Binkley and Drew some love. And also, go give your city some love. Go give some random person some love and be nice to them because it's simply cool to care. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's a Tuesday. Stay cool. Stay groovy. Enjoy this weather. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care, Kansas City.